Hello. How was your vacation?
It was good.
Yeah, you had a good
You know,
vacation?
that 2 month vacation that we've taken?
No, I mean the
Yeah,
vacation was only 10 days.
that one.
The road trip. How was your Star Wars day?
Star Wars Day was great.
Yeah.
Vacation was solid.
How was
A lot
your
of driving.
Disneyland trip?
We've done a lot of things.
We've done a few. Yeah.
Did do that trip to see the eclipse. I don't know if we talked about that on the
Yeah,
previous episode.
I
I
don't
think we
know.
did.
That was fun.
Yep. Welcome.
All right. Should I do an intro now?
Yeah, probably.
Cool.
We banter after the intro, Kristen. Come on.
Hello, and welcome to Chronically Olympus, the podcast in which my co-host and I discuss the Percy Jackson and the Olympian series, chapter by chapter. And today we are discussing chapter 12 of the Sea of Monsters. This chapter is titled We Check In to Cece's Spa and Resort. I'm just a guinea pig.
Fascinating.
Also known as Kristen, and this is my co-host.
I'm a pirate.
Ah. Hello.
are we just the same thing?
Are we just?
Also known as Chris.
Hello, Chris. How are
Hi.
you?
Good. Craven celery.
Yeah?
Yep.
Darn, we don't have any.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Sounds so good.
Yeah.
Little celery and salsa.
Yeah. No, maybe not. No. That's still a weird combo that I don't.
But you tasted it and you said it was really good.
Okay,
You
fine.
did taste it and you're like, your dad's on to something here, Kristen.
Okay, fine, maybe, whatever. Anywho, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Should we banter again, or did we cover that with the pre-intro conversation that we had?
I don't know.
Okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm
Good.
good.
Little
Chilling.
mutual day off.
Yeah.
Just maxing, relaxing.
Maxin' relaxin'.
Anyway, how do we start this podcast?
Generally speaking, we banter, we intro, we do some summaries.
All right. Would you like to do your bullet points first, or would you like me to?
Sure. I'll go ahead and go first.
Sure, go for it. What is that little heart wire thing, by the way? That's found its way to my desk.
I found it when I was cleaning, and I thought it was cute because it was a little wire shaped like a heart.
Oh, I thought maybe that was just a little thing that you made me as a surprise and left it on
It
my
was a
desk.
thing that I made at some point, and I don't know what I used it for or why I had it, but when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's cute. I'll go ahead and put that on Chris's desk, and if he wants to put it in a plant, he can put it in a plant. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, appreciate you. Thank you.
So, it's a cute little wire heart.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas.
My birthday is closer. I don't know. It's sad.
I don't
More.
remember when your birthday is, so, you know. Just default to Christmas to be safe.
Yeah, I know. It's that's kind of a joke. Anyway.
Oh my goodness. August bleep bleep.
Yeah, you can take that out of the podcast. I don't know if I need my real birth date in there.
I'll just bleep it.
Yep. All right. You're doing your bullet points. Go on.
So, as Chris and I read through the chapters, we do bullet point summaries and then we share them here just to kind of give everybody a refresh on the chapter before we discuss it. So, here's my summary. Tyson is totally gone. Prophecy discussions and how Percy could be a weapon. Land ho!
What'd you call me?
How many of these vessels at the port are real things that were lost in the Bermuda Triangle? Sorry, that's just me speculating for discussion later. Welcome to the resort. Time for makeovers. Cece's weaving and welcoming. Percy drinks the milkshake of doom. And turns into a guinea pig. Take your vitamins to protect from magic. Annabeth saves the day, and they escape in Blackbeard's ship. Is the ship magic? Or does Percy have new powers?
Great questions. Great questions all.
It's the second thing I wrote for discussion is great questions all, Percy.
Uh-huh. Anyway, that is a phrase that I'm not allowed to say anymore. Apparently that,
Not allowed to say. Just, you will receive additional eye rolls and annoyance from me.
In addition to my daily allotment that I normally get.
Yes.
Yep.
Some extra, some surplus annoyance just for you.
All right, here's my bullet point summary. We now have Dr. Pepper. At least we know where we are. The prophecy is revealed. Is this the center of the Bermuda Triangle? Once again, Percy is lured by food. Are the guinea pigs an homage? Is there a global classroom pet conspiracy? Yar har fiddle dee tee. And Percy now has shipomancy?
Yeah.
All right.
So, to answer your question about the guinea pigs, yes, they are an homage.
Okay.
Because Cersei would turn men into real pigs.
Yes, that's not what I was talking about. Oh. I know it's it's an allusion to the mythos story.
Yeah.
Story. That's how I'm going to say it from now on.
The story.
The story. Sorry, I'm getting in my my voice for my rewrite already. No, I was going to bring up whether or not the guinea pigs were an homage to Lewis and the Wood Between Worlds.
I don't know. I doubt it.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, I say that solely because we'll get into it when we're actually discussing the chapter, but when Percy is going onto the island for the first time, he has kind of that weird Wood Between Worlds thing where he starts to forget who he is.
Yeah.
And everything. And I'm just like, you're in a, like, weird, like, place out of time that you, like, makes you forget everything, and there's guinea pigs. Huh. But yeah, I thought maybe that would be, that might have been a little reference.
Yeah, I do not know.
Uh-huh. So, let's get into this. So, he wakes up in a rowboat. And they are in a boat that has escaped the
explosion. He wakes up in a rowboat with Annabeth, like, just fully skip into that.
Yeah.
The last we heard from him was sinking in a burning sea.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's in a rowboat with Annabeth.
Yeah. Apparently, got rescued, escaped the explosion.
His backpack was bitten in half, but he still has the vitamins.
Yeah.
And the empty wind container.
Yeah. Empty wind container. Apparently, we've used all the wind, which I thought was silly.
Well, I feel like, to me, it makes more sense that the wind container was damaged when he got bitten. And that's what saved him, because it exploded him out of there.
Like, could be, yeah.
I think that's how I interpreted it, at least.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see how that impacts the world's climate. There's no more wind anymore, and that's going to be weird.
No, it's not controlled anymore. It's escaped.
Uh-huh.
That'll be the next book, is Reclaiming the Four Winds.
What fun. Anyway, so yeah, they've lost a lot of the supplies. They have a little Ziploc bag full of ambrosia. They've got a bottle of Dr. Pepper. That's important, which I believe is the first time we've mentioned Dr. Pepper. Usually we talk about Coke as a brand name.
It is not.
Is it not? Okay, cool.
Remember the whole thing of Luke being a Dr. Pepper person?
Okay.
And so was Clarice.
Yeah.
Having Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Which kind of like drew this divide between Percy as a Coke drinker and the baddies nemesis.
That is a thing. I'm curious as to when we're gonna bring Sprite into the mix. Like,
yeah,
it's going
what
on
about Sprite remix.
Yeah, do we find out that Hades is a Pepsi fan at some point? Like,
absolutely, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Anyway,
but, you know, Kronos for sure, RC Cola guy.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say Tab. I don't know. Is that discontinued? I was trying to think of like a discontinued soda that doesn't exist anymore. Because
it
Kronos
was
like
for a long time. Then it came back for a while, and I don't know where it stands.
Yeah.
These days.
Who knows? Anyway, listeners, if you'd like to like send in your favorite soda.
What is your villain soda?
So anyway, they're beat up.
Plain seltzer water. That's what I think the villain drinks.
They're beat up and they're in the rowboat. They're sailing for a number of hours. Cool. There's monsters that go by the boat. Just kind of chilling. Sun's hot. It's terrible. Sorry, I'm reminding... It's been like 2 weeks since I read this chapter, so I'm reminding myself of how this goes exactly.
Yeah, that's why we do the bullet point summary, so that, you know...
Yeah, they have a little fight about, you know, just general things and stuff about, like...
Well, Percy tells Annabeth about his most recent dream.
Yes.
And they have a discussion about the timeline that they have to find Grover before the Cyclops...
Yes.
Just... kills him.
100%.
And Annabeth says, you know, it seems like we have about a day unless Cyclops changes his mind. And Percy responds with, yeah, you can't trust Cyclopses.
Yeah.
And then she gets really, you know, they have their whole little back and forth about Tyson and how she was probably wrong and all of this.
Yeah.
And he has lots of big feelings.
Yeah. And then we discuss the prophecy.
Yes.
For real this time. Like, this is a thing that's come up in the previous book about, you know, there was a vague allusion to it and how there's a prophecy. It's come up,
like, twice in this book, too. Like.
Yeah. And Annabeth, after some convincing, tells Percy what she knows about this and what the deal is. Where the next child of one of the big three, as we know, are Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades, when they reach 16, would do something. It's still very vague.
It would be used as a weapon, yeah. And like determine the fate of the gods as a whole.
Yeah. And that's kind of what we know. It doesn't necessarily apply to Percy, like because it's the book series that we're reading. I'm going to say, sure, it does. Totally. We know it's Percy. But, you know, if he makes it to 16, which he's still got a few years, and like everything's constantly trying to kill him, so that's... What are the odds?
Yeah.
And he makes it to 16.
What are the odds indeed?
Yeah. But yeah, it's a big deal, and Annabeth doesn't know all the details, except she's probably is hiding a couple things because the conversation gets interrupted.
I don't think that she's hiding anything. I think that there may be more details she knows that do get brought up later.
Yeah.
But yeah. A seagull comes and drops leaves on them.
Yes, they get interrupted by a seagull.
She goes, land!
Yep.
It's very much like the send out the dove and it comes back with the olive branch.
Yeah.
That said, Percy's weird, like, know where you are magic water powers for the ocean.
Yeah.
Should have told him that there was land nearby.
You would think so, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not wrong about that.
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, kind of an inconsistency, I feel like.
Yeah.
Unless there's, you know, some sort of magic preventing this island from being known about.
Yeah.
With the outside world. So there's an island. And they show up, and there's some weird stuff outside. They see this idyllic, like, green island in the distance, and it is surrounded by all kinds of, like, weird vehicles across history.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a Navy submarine, there's, like, lots of yachts, there's canoes, an old-fashioned three-masted sailing ship.
I'm really curious how many of these things are, like, direct allusions to things that have been lost.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, they have specific planes styles that are mentioned, and I'm like, are those the same planes that were flown by Flight 19 or whatever, that group of ships, of airplanes that disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle were?
Yeah.
You know, is this a specific reference to a specific ship? Like, obviously, the three-masted ship, we get more information about at the end of the chapter. But
we know,
like,
which that one is.
Is that submarine one that was, like, was there a submarine lost in the Bermuda Triangle at some point? Like,
which, speaking of which, I was going to look at something. Doing some research here.
On-the-spot reporting.
Yeah, I thought so. Anyway, I was refreshing myself on my pirate history. And... there's a couple allusions to things that, like, might be real, disappearances that happened in the Bermuda Triangle. Though specifically, and this is a spoiler for, you know, this chapter we're discussing.
What?
We do encounter Blackbeard, mm-hmm. who's here with his ship. And we do know exactly when and where Blackbeard died and the ultimate fate of the Queen Anne's Revenge. So they're taking some liberties with the history here that it ends up on this island.
Okay.
So. All right. So anywho, there's all these, you know, various ships and stuff from different eras. And, well, they're suspicious, as they should be.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, because they run into a number of traps like this. We see a sign or something like that that says, hang on, is it a sign?
The woman comes out with the clipboard.
Yes. Yes, lady comes out with a clipboard, asking if it's their first time with them. Yeah. And they're just like, what, who? First time at spa? And we're just like, hey, welcome to CeCe's. I'm sure CeCe's going to want to speak with you right away.
Are we getting some pizza?
Yeah. Terrible, terrible pizza.
A little pizza buffet.
I'm sorry to any CeCe's fans out there, really.
I was a CeCe's fan for a very long time.
Yeah. So, obviously, Percy's suspicious, expecting a trap. However, they're tired, they're hungry, they've been in a rowboat in the baking sun, and, you know, this lady mentioned a luau, so, I mean, we gotta go for it.
I mean, where else can they go, though? Like, really, like, yeah, it's probably a trap. Also, we're on a rowboat with a Ziploc baggie of ambrosia and 24 hours to figure out where you need to be, like.
And a Dr. Pepper. Don't forget about that.
They've been taking turns sipping off of it, so they don't have a full one anymore.
Yep. Classified as a food in some places.
fun little
historical factoids.
Which I have not actually independently confirmed, but yeah.
Okay. So anyway, and I was going to bring this up because it's become very much a theme at this point where Percy wanders into traps because he's hungry.
Yeah.
And that's...
I mean, that's... That's most mythos, like, just myths in general, like,
yeah.
That's most of the stories, it's just like, we needed shelter or we needed food, and so we ended up wandering into Medusa's place. We ended up wandering into, you know.
Yeah. So they go through this, like, idyllic resort, like, all kinds of pools and water slides and, like, terraces, fountains, like, all kinds of,
The fountain sounds so cool.
Yeah.
It describes the fountains as, like, creating shapes that like topiary.
Yeah.
Like, and it just sounds so cool to me to have like a water fountain, like, you know, like the one that's supposed to look like a swan on like Mirror and stuff like that, you know, like.
Yeah. No, it's super neat. They pass a bunch of tame animals, a bunch of resort guests who are all, strangely enough, young women.
Yep.
Interesting. And they go inside a, large building where they encounter a woman singing some kind of ancient language that's not Greek, like Minoan or something, but Percy can still understand it.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. And I was just like, can he just understand all languages past a certain age? Like it, the Greek makes sense, but like they're like related languages.
Not a clue.
And like, can he understand like ancient Roman? Like how far does this spread?
Yeah. I think, yeah, I don't know. It seems like a really interesting take.
Yeah. And then they describe the room they're in, and like there's some kind of like weird pet cage, and there's a beautiful lady. So there's a beautiful lady that's sitting on a loom, weaving a wonderful
obviously
scene.
Obviously enchanted. Yeah. Tapestry.
Yeah.
Like,
enchanted tapestry, putting together some sort of, like, super beautiful thing, which pales in comparison to her own beauty. And,
I struggled with, like, coming into this, because I was like, this is one of those moments where I feel my gaps in knowledge about Greek myth hurting my ability to enjoy the story, because I didn't know who it was. I was like, I know that there's a story about a magic loom.
Yeah.
And I remember nothing else about it. And so, like, this is presenting it to me, like, like as if it were the first time I've ever encountered this myth.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like, oh, like I feel like I would enjoy the book more if I had more insight into the myth that this is based off of.
Yeah, like, you don't have to go super deep into it. It's just, like, so far, what we've encountered in the books is mainly pulled from, like, the classics, like, the Odyssey, like, Golden Fleece, all those, like, epic poems and whatnot.
Yeah.
We're pulling from Homer, mainly. I did not flag going into this at all the first time I read the chapter that it was Circe. I'm vaguely familiar with the character, but, like, the CC didn't tip me off at all. So yeah. that was like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as obvious as Auntie M's to me going in. So anyway, she introduces herself as Cece. Spoilers, we've already told you who she actually is.
Yeah.
And she just lays into him and just like, yep, here's, I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong with you two right now.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you're not. You're not living up to your full potential. Like, your clothes need to be different. Like, we're going to do a whole makeover for you because, like, that's the kind of thing that you'd say to a 12-year-old. Like, no, everything you have going on, completely wrong.
But also in that, you have the obvious amount of enchantment. Because Percy even says, normally if someone said something like this to me, I would be offended. But yeah. I just felt, like, embarrassed at having disappointed her.
Yeah. So she talks to Annabeth and was just like, yeah, we're going to do a whole makeover, spa day, et cetera, et cetera. And she's like, what about Percy? And Cece's just like, well, obviously he needs way more work. Like, we're gonna just, don't worry about Percy at all.
Yeah.
Annabeth gets let off, and then Cece and Percy have a little conversation where she shows him his ideal self in a mirror.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is even better and, like, taller and more athletic and, like, better clothes. And
she uses a magic tapestry for this, which I think is just kind of cool.
Like, yeah. And he's just like, well, how do we get there? How do we accomplish this? And she's like, oh, no, easy. All you have to do
is... He's like, what kind of diet do I have to do for this?
Yeah, just have to be, plenty of fresh fruit and one of these little fancy milkshakes that she mixes up with a little drink mix packet.
Yep.
Because this is how ancient sorceresses do things.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
We just mix a little magic powder into your drink, and...
Yeah.
And off we go.
Yeah, and he's literally drinking the Kool-Aid.
Woo!
And while he's about to drink this magical elixir, he has the nagging question come up of, hey, why are there, like... No men here, like, whatsoever. That's kind of weird. And she's just like, well, you'll meet him soon enough. Not in a creepy way.
Not at all.
I don't know. So he drinks it, and then things happen.
Things. And stuff.
He starts feeling himself transform.
And he watches himself in the mirror as his hands shrivel up, and he...
Grows claws and whiskers sprout under
his teeth get face. Too heavy for his face.
Yeah. And all of a sudden he's shrinking. And then...
And he's in the cozy little cave of his own clothes.
Yep. And he's a guinea pig.
Which, as someone who has two little nieces that are guinea pigs, they love to be in a little cave made out of clothes. That's so cozy.
Yep. I mean, it seems like a happy life. They enjoy themselves.
Yeah. If you haven't heard the actual weeking sound that guinea pigs make, just go do yourself a favor and, like... Go listen to what a happy guinea pig sounds like, because it's amazing.
Yeah.
It brings a smile to my face every time. Yeah. So having this whole scene happen with this kind of, like, pseudo-ominous sound of weeping in the background the whole time, I was just like, the tone of this chapter is so odd.
Yeah. Or watch a video of guinea pigs popcorning, because that's cute,
it's
too.
It's also so cute.
They're great little guys.
They are.
So he is now fully guinea pigged. She picks him up and puts him into a cage with a bunch of other guinea pigs.
Which she specifically says, like, will we send the guinea pigs off to classrooms?
Yes.
You'll have a great life. But I'm putting you here in this cage with all of the worst ones.
Yeah.
these are the ones that we can't send off to schools.
Yeah. So that's why I put down the bullet point of, like, is there a global classroom pet conspiracy? Because, like, how does this work? Like, how do we send, like, bulk guinea pigs off of a magic island that go to class? Like, is there, like, an intermediary pet store situation? Probably. Are we sending them directly to classrooms? Like,
is Iris... No, that's the messaging. Hermes? He does all the mail?
Yeah.
Is Hermes, like, coming here to pick up shipments of guinea pigs?
Like, could be. Like, what percentage of classroom guinea pigs in the world are actually, like, transformed men who's been to Cersei's Island? Like...
Are there any naturally occurring guinea pigs in the world? And we have the reference that she used to turn men into pigs.
Yeah.
And that she now turns them into guinea pigs because, you know, pigs take a lot more maintenance and they're messier and smellier.
Yeah. Much easier to keep guinea pigs. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're doing this in bulk, like, you know.
Yeah.
You can, hundreds of pigs, like, require a lot of room.
Mm-hmm.
So.
A lot of feed.
Yeah. So anyway, so he gets dropped into the cage, and then they're interrupted by Annabeth coming in. And in the 5 minutes that it's taken this to happen, she's gone through an entire makeover.
Yep.
Is wearing a dress, like, she's got a, you know, freshly washed and combed braided hair, makeup, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which Percy's just like, Ermengarde, she's actually really pretty, but also it's not Annabeth. That's not her vibe.
Yeah.
So, obviously, she's been, like, in Sourcehold as well.
Yeah.
Totally legitimate word.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And then Cece's trying to convince her to, like, stay on the island with him because, like, hey, you could do anything you want. We've got, like, our Miss Amazing library.
Yeah,
because, like,
Annabeth comes in just like, that library is amazing. She got her tour. She got all of this. Like, the library's amazing. And Cece's just like, well, you can do whatever you want. Like, you, what would you want to be? Like, stay and study, and what do you want to be?
Not an architect, though, because, like, that's thinking too small.
Well, Annabeth's just like, I want to be an architect. And she's like, I recognize a daughter of Athena when I see one. Like, you could be powerful like me. You could be a sorceress like me.
Yeah. And pretty tempting, you know. Yeah.
And that's when Annabeth is just like, a sorceress, you say?
I mean, overall, of the traps they've fallen into, this one isn't really a bad deal. Like,
yeah. I mean, it is for Percy.
Yeah, yeah. Annabeth would work out here.
Yeah.
And she is trying to argue against it. At the same time, Percy is encountering really, really mean, dirty-looking guinea pigs.
Yep.
He was just like, I don't think it was possible for a guinea pig to look threatening, but here they were. They've got cracked teeth and beady red eyes, and, like, they smell like they haven't been cleaned in 300 years.
Yeah.
So he gets ganged up on by a bunch of angry little pigs.
Yeah.
And then Annabeth finds out that she's Cersei, Ermengarde. We had the big reveal. And then assumes that she's done something to Percy, realizes that he's gone.
Yeah. And, yeah. Cersei is just like, you know, I'm a daughter of Hecate, like, I am, you know, can teach you all of these things.
Yeah. This is also all lending itself to the assertion that Steve always makes that magic corrupts. Always.
Yeah.
And that there are no good magic users.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty common theme in a lot of literature, just in general. Like, the idea that power corrupts and the idea that power gained through any means, like magic, is an example of corruption just to begin with.
Uh-huh.
And, like, how it can corrupt in that way. That said, Annabeth is just like, all right, like, let me say goodbye.
Yeah.
And Cersei's like, oh, yeah, just so you have some complete privacy.
Yep.
I'll give you one minute. We're just going to go ahead and lock down this room with metal bars on the windows and lock the door behind us.
Yeah, so nobody comes in. Yeah. And she wanders up to the cage, is trying to figure out which of these pigs is Percy.
And then immediately just kind of, like, drops that and runs straight over to find his clothes.
Yeah. Gets the multivitamins, grabs a lemon chewable, pops it in. Cersei comes back, and we find out Ermagerd, Annabeth is now immune to magic.
What were we told about the vitamins to begin with?
I don't remember. I'd have to go dig through the first few chapters.
Well, give me a moment and I'll do a little searching. So here's when he receives them. "You're kidding," I said. "Are those minotaur shaped?" Hermes picked up the bottle and rattled it. "The lemon ones, yes. The grape ones are furies, I think. Or are they hydras? At any rate, these are potent. Don't take one unless you really, really need it." "How will I know if I really, really need it?" "You'll know, believe me. 9 essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids. Oh, everything you need to feel yourself again." So that's all the information we got about the vitamins, I think.
Yep.
Everything you need to feel yourself again, which I would...
Which does work for Percy. Say,
yeah, it would imply that there is some ability to break.
Also, apparently they make you immune to any kind of magic whatsoever, which seems like a pretty powerful thing to just have looking around. Like, I don't know how rare these multivitamins are in the universe, but
yeah,
seems like if there's just a pill you can take to make you immune to magic, magic is pretty useless.
And yeah,
and the sphere of gods and demigods.
So Annabeth pops one, and Cersei comes sweeping back in.
Yeah.
And it's just with 2 guards.
Yeah, Annabeth draws her knife, and then Cersei is just like, realizes that, like, she's immune to magic, and
she
then,
tries to use her magic to turn her into a shrew.
Yeah. And realizes that Annabeth's immune, and apparently they're powerless, like, despite, like, Cersei and all of her followers, like, if they can't, like, magic her, there's just nothing they can do.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, we're in a room with, you know, two other people. That said... I witnessed you having a conversation last night with someone about if someone pulls a knife in a fight that you just, like, run.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
That even if somebody doesn't know what they're doing with a knife, it's more dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Yeah, understandable. So, she's immune to magic. Cersei's just like, calls off her followers and just like...
You keep saying followers. She has 2 guards. There is... The whole island hasn't come running into this room.
Why not?
I'm trying to...
Her 2 guards, and says she's immune to magic until that cursed multivitamin wears off. Also, kind of like trashes multivitamins as a concept and says they're a fad. They do nothing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know. You take a multivitamin.
Yeah.
You feel like they help.
I do.
So far, you haven't been turned into, like, a woodland critter, so...
Yeah, I'm immune to magic when I take them.
Yeah.
This is also Rick Riordan coding in a healthy message of just being like, yeah, and take your vitamins because they help you defend against magic.
Yeah, apparently. He's out there helping the children. So anyway, Annabeth drops in the vitamins into the cage. Percy goes, immediately starts nibbling on one. Cage explodes. Oh my god, he's human again.
All of them are. All of them that grabbed one of the vitamins.
And he says, somehow back in my regular clothes, which makes zero sense whatsoever.
It really does. It really, really does. And he says, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I'm like, he had to have the clothes stay out so that Annabeth could get to the bottle.
Yep.
But we also had to have him not in the, like, so the clothes had to stay not with Percy. In order for Annabeth to be able to get the bottle at all.
Yep. So they were off, and then
we wanted to have, like, 2 seconds of an explanation of her taking the vitamins.
Yeah.
Or putting them with herself, you know, whatever.
And they just teleport back onto him. But then, we don't, like...
But we also have all of the other guinea pigs start turning back into people also in their clothes, which is...
Yeah, like the 6 other guys who are, like, pirates who have been in the cage for, like, 300 years.
6, huh?
It says 6 other guys, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm reading it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's also 6 other guys whose clothes have long since disappeared centuries ago, which are magically back, too. So,
mm-hmm.
Who even knows how this magic works?
Well, it said the vitamins are supposed to make you feel yourself again, which involves being dressed.
Yep. Some people, I guess. But they look around, Cersei freaks out because these are just the worst men imaginable, and...
But also, they all just had the vitamin, which means they are all defended against magic for as long as that vitamin works.
Yeah. However long they'll stay in your system for.
Yeah. But, you know, six whole men are gonna completely unwind this entire place.
Yep. I mean, one of them is Edward Teach. Blackbeard, son of Aerys, apparently.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Makes sense.
Also, like, were there only 8 vitamins in that entire bottle? Because she dumped the entire bottle in.
Maybe. Or maybe she just wasted, like, 30 of them.
Yeah, like...
I mean, we have to figure out a way to use our MacGuffins. Like, you know, the when Thermos exploded, like, all the vitamins are gone. So, when they actually get to the Cyclops Island, like, they're going to have nothing but their wits about them. Mm-hmm. They can't have their magical stuff anymore. And then the pirates go on a rampage because they've been trapped for a long time, and you know, we've
for 300 years,
and they've just loosed a bunch of angry pirates on this island who are going to go murder everyone, probably. So that's
it's entirely possible.
That's nice.
Loving that.
That's a fun children's book story.
Yep.
They hug. Aw.
Aww. Cool. And then they run to try to find a way out of this place.
Yep. And then as the pirates are causing chaos, they escape, head down to the docks, and they're looking for, like, vehicles to take.
Something that's not a rowboat.
Yeah.
You know, basically.
Yeah. It's like they had options. There's like, we had to get off the island fast. We were taking a sub, a fighter jet, et cetera, et cetera.
Percy just stands there and has, like, a revelatory moment. We should take that one.
Yeah. Which is the Queen Anne's Revenge.
Yep.
Famously, Blackbeard's ship, which apparently is still in great shape for a 300-year-old vessel that hasn't moved in, you know.
Well, I presumably mean, Blackbeard himself is in great shape for 300 years of being a guinea
pig.
Well,
he was a magical guinea pig.
Yeah. I feel like time doesn't pass on this island is the whole point. Everything is in the same condition it was when it got here. The people.
Yeah.
The ships.
Yeah.
Everything.
Entirely possible. But they get there and, you know, Annabeth is just like, yeah, we're never going to get out in time. Like, we need a crew. Like, yeah, it's going to take hours to get this.
20 people hours to get this ship in the, like.
Yeah. Which, you've been on a tall ship before. You know what a ridiculous amount of work it is.
I do. I have.
Get one of those things going.
Yeah.
But Percy's just like, yeah, no, don't need any of that. I can completely control this ship with my mind powers.
Yeah, and that you and I both asked this question in our your shipomancy and my, like, is this a magic ship is my question. Like, I would assume that Ares' son would have a magic ship.
Yeah.
Like,
probably.
And Percy just stood there for a minute, taps into it, and says the magic word.
Yeah.
Which causes the ship to start functioning.
Yeah.
So I think that it's that. I don't think that Percy has ship magic. I think the ship is magic, and Percy is able to decode it.
Maybe. I don't know, because he does mention that he wouldn't be able to, like, pilot any of those other vessels.
Yeah.
But, like, could do this one, so.
Because this one is magic, the others are not, is what I think.
And yeah, well, I guess we'll explore that further. I don't know how many more adventures on the ocean that we're going to have in subsequent books. Remember? Or what, but...
Yeah.
We'll see. And they get on the Queen Anne's Revenge, and they take off back into the Sea of Monsters.
Indeed. Off they
go.
And
they're only like 100-some miles away from their destination. Cool.
They're pretty close.
Will we get their next chapter? Probably not.
We better. We better.
Yeah, so that was a chapter. Anything that we didn't cover or need to dive into further?
Let me see. I wrote down a immortality question mark because Cersei specifically offers immortality to Annabeth.
Uh-huh.
And my question is this some enchantment on the island?
Uh-huh.
And causing, like, a time stop, which, based on the condition of the ships, is my assumption.
Yeah.
And that just being on the island would be immortality for Annabeth, not like that Cersei's awarding it to her, but like being in the presence of this enchantment is.
Uh-huh.
But that's only my assumption based off of the ship's conditions.
Yeah.
It seems like there would be no reason to maintain these ships.
Yeah.
So I feel like it has to be that. Because my original thought was, you know, oh, we have, like, an offer of immortality, so the magic is being extended individual by individual who accepts this.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. It's, I think that with the, I think that that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I said, why doesn't Percy know land is near? Daughter of Hecate, Blackbeard. Good questions all, Percy. That's what I wrote down. Percy's actually asking really good questions in this chapter coming up to arriving at the island.
Yeah.
So he's asking good questions about, you know, what is the prophecy? Like, yeah, I know he can't tell me, but you didn't ever make a promise not to tell me, Annabeth. Like,
he's not being stupid for once.
So Percy's asking good questions. So, like, when Annabeth tells him what the prophecy says and that he could be a weapon deciding the fate of the gods, Percy says, that's why Kronos didn't kill me last summer. And I was like, that's a great observation. Like, Percy finally figured out that, like, he's, people are angling to use him.
Yeah.
Like, he's seen that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm like, why didn't he kill me? Well, like, oh, yeah, I see why he didn't kill me. Also, you know, he didn't kill you because you traded shoes with Grover.
Yeah.
And then we had him asking questions like, can this prophecy relate to a Cyclops? Like, some child of the big three with, you know, someone other than a human.
Yeah, obviously and not.
So we have clarification on that. Like, it, no, it has, it specifically says half-blood, which only refers to human god hybrids.
Yeah.
So that's it. Like, but he asked some really good questions that I was just like, yeah, Percy finally figuring out how to, like, defend himself with actually, like, thinking
with,
about
with knowledge. Stuff.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah.
That's the rest of my thoughts on it. What do we do next?
Yay, celebrating character growth. Next, we do our favorite sentence.
All right.
All right, I have mine.
Okay, you want to go ahead and do yours first?
Yeah. So, my favorite sentence from this chapter was, I wanted to scream at her that this wasn't the time for taking supplements.
Nice. Mine isn't so much funny,
uh-huh.
but more like, I feel like we can summarize so much of the plot of the stories of the books, like, in this one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, if he can get you on his side, the gods will be in serious trouble.
Yep.
Like, whew. Poor Percy, you know?
Gonna see the temptation of Percy play out here.
Yep.
Which, I don't know what strictly the timeline of the books is. We've only gotten two in so far, and, like, it seems to be, like, you know,
one year, not to
mention Harry Potter, but every year is, like, every book is a different year.
Except and that, like, every book is a different summer.
Yeah.
As opposed to a different school year.
Yeah. It works the same way, though. There's one summer every year.
Yes, so. But I'm saying, as opposed to being, like, we're covering an entire school year, we're covering one summer each book.
Yeah, which, like, so if that keeps up, then we have book one, Percy's 11, he's 12 in this one, 3 is 13, 4 is 14, 5 is 15. And yep. So the book 5, like, we still wouldn't be at the age that prophecy happens.
Yep.
So.
That's why Percy dies. That's why we don't have a 7th book.
Yep.
Or a 6th book, I mean.
We do now.
I know. That's my point.
All right. We'll get there eventually.
Yep.
Papa Rick's just making our job harder and take longer here. So anyway, would you like to move on to our last segment?
Absolutely.
All right. What do we do for this one, Kristen?
Our final segment is our rewrite segment. So as Chris and I kind of process through the chapters, we each write a rewrite of the chapter from a different perspective.
Uh-huh.
This chapter had a very limited number of things that we could do. I was just going to play some sound effects of guinea pigs weaking, and that would be my rewrite, just from the perspective of a guinea pig, you know, these kids entering the room and the guinea pigs trying to warn them off.
Uh-huh.
You know, the other options are, like, other people at the resort getting, you know, skincare routines, and other than that, it's like Cersei Annabeth, like, you got very few options on this one.
Yeah.
So you and I both rewrote this from the perspective of a guinea pig, I believe. Or a pirate.
Yeah.
So, should I go first or should you?
Go ahead and go first.
All right. So, I just chose to do mine rather than, like, because normally we'll retell the whole chapter.
Yes.
I kind of did mine as, like, a review of what happened in the chapter from someone else's perspective.
Sure.
So, this is the perspective of one of the pirates.
Okay.
It's been 300 years trapped here in a cage with my crew of guinea pig mates. We've had plenty of time to learn how to communicate and never successfully executed a plan of escape. I feel like we could have if anyone else was willing, but it took this child and her flask of morsels to free us. I've hated this place for 300 years! Time to destroy it. The kids are stealing our ship. I couldn't get these idiots to organize in a cage together for centuries. How will I convince them to learn a new vessel and leave this sorceress's lair? That's it.
Fun.
Yep. Your turn.
Cool. So mine's also the perspective of a pirate, as you might have guessed.
Yep.
At the end of the day, I suppose pirates and guinea pigs aren't that different. We're both vocal and honest about our desires. Both hairy and often unwashed. Both used to living in confined spaces that smell like sawdust and musk. Though I want to say I've learned a thing or two from my time as one of those noble swine. Like the importance of a high-fiber diet and the value of exercise. On the other hand, I feel as if these tiny yet fearsome beasts could learn a thing from our piratical ways. Like the love of the sort of freedom that only the open seas can provide. I think, upon my return, I'll bring a few guineas along. Teach them the ways of the world, and show them what they've missed this whole time. No gods, no masters, only rich, hardy greens.
There you go. Excellent.
Thank you. Anyway, cool.
Any final thoughts?
No. It's a fun chapter.
Yeah.
We're doing a very island hoppy story. So, you know.
Which you knew going in. You were warned going in.
Yeah, I was. So, let's get to the next island.
All right.
Cool.
Huzzah.
Want to take us out?
Sure thing. Thank you so much for joining us today as we discussed Chapter 12 of The Sea of Monsters. Join us next time as we discuss Chapter 13, Annabeth Tries to Swim Home. Until next time, you can join us on social media at Chronically Podcast on Instagram. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/chronicallypodcast, or you can email us your fan art of orange and white guinea pigs at chronicallypodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, and until next time.
And take your multivitamins.
Bye.
Bye.
Sorry, that was me trying to remember Percy's name.
Oh. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Getting some celery over there.
Land ho!
What'd you call me?
You can, you can support us at Chronically Pod, or at, you can support us on Patreon at Chronically Podcast.
Paper shuffling sounds. How we're shuffling.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.